Christian Parenting.
Aloha, friends, and welcome to the Monica Swanson Podcast, powered by Christian Parenting. I am Monica Swanson, mom to four boys, wife to Dr. Dave, podcast host, and author of Boy Mom, Raising Amazing, and the newly released Becoming Homeschoolers. Here on the podcast, it is my goal to bring you practical advice and biblical wisdom for raising amazing kids and building strong families. You can always find show notes over at monicaswanson.com/podcast. I'm so glad you're here, and I hope you'll be encouraged. Hey friends, welcome back to the podcast. I hope everybody had a great Father's Day weekend, and we are well on our way through the month of June here. So I think we can officially say happy summertime, and whether you are on the road this summer or hanging out at home, I hope you will take this podcast with you because we have so many great episodes coming your way. Now, do you love home decorating? Is that something that comes natural to you? I have always confessed that it's not something that comes natural to me. And so today's episode is a little bit selfishly motivated. I have Mikewilyn Smith, who is also known as The Nester online. She recently came out with a book called House Rules, How to Decorate for Every Home Style and Budget. And in it, she shares 100 rules. And she says rules are made to be broken. So we're having so much fun as she touches on a whole bunch of these rules. I'm throwing them out there. She's responding. So if you have an area of your house that you want to tweak, redecorate, maybe you're hitting up some yard sales, Mikewilyn has so much wisdom and yet makes this super fun. So I love today's conversation so much. Also ahead on the podcast, just want to give you a quick vision for what you can look forward to this summer. I'm doing some series, and these are things I know a lot of you want to hear about because I get your emails, I get your direct messages. So ready to talk about youth sports? We're going to do that. My husband and I have had some fun on social media talking about youth sports, and we get a ton of feedback on that. Well, we're bringing in some experts. We're going to talk about parenting through youth sports, the pros, the cons, the challenges. Can't wait to share that with you. Also, anybody lose your temper in parenting occasionally? I know that anger in parenting is a hot topic. It's a tough one. It's one I've confessed has been a struggle for me, especially in the early years. So we're doing a series on anger and parenting, offering some hope and help for that. And also, starting next week, we have 2 weeks where we're going to get really practical about technology. This is an area that I know we all have to figure out. We're all navigating kids and screens, and summertime can really bring that to the surface. Well, I've got two guests who are really going to offer some practical help for kids and screen time. And then we'll wrap up our summer with a back-to-school series I'm really excited to share. So you guys, keep coming back. If you haven't subscribed or followed this podcast, go to that little plus sign in the upper right-hand corner of your podcast app, tap on it, and that will help you not miss episodes here on the Monica Swanson Podcast. Speaking of the podcast, I want to make sure you know that this podcast is proudly part of the Christian Parenting Podcast Network. Christian Parenting's mission is to equip parents with the tools they need to confidently raise the next generation of culture-changing Christians. And right now, that feels more important than ever. We would love for you to join us in this crucial mission by joining our community of monthly donors. Monthly donations are essential to ministries like Christian Parenting because they help to plan well for the year ahead and create the best possible content. Content like this podcast, printed products, digital guides, and online articles. So your recurring gift, whether $5, $10, $25, or $50 a month, will help Christian Parenting reach even more parents around the world, encouraging them to be the perfectly imperfect parents God created them to be. You can set up your recurring gift over at cpgive.org. Again, the letter CP is in Christian Parenting, give.org. Thank you in advance for your support and partnership. And now, without further ado, let's jump in and talk to Mikewilyn about house rules. I think you're going to love this conversation. Mikewilyn, welcome to the podcast.
Man, I'm so glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Yes, fellow boy moms, this is going to be fun.
Yeah.
Love it. Well, I already told you, but I've been following you for years and we have a mutual friend. I'm just going to shout out. I love to let people know where I know people from. Roger Thompson in Ventura, California, kind of a mentor, second dad to my boys who are in college. He is a mutual friend of ours. So that's so much fun.
Absolutely. I love that. It just makes the world, the internet makes the world feel smaller.
Right. I love that. And in so many interesting ways, like there's always these small world connections. So much fun. Well, this is exciting in so, for so many reasons that I'm talking to you. One is this is my very first recording in a new space in my house. Yes. And I have been living in this house for 13 years and I have had my desk. Well, actually I did a recording with my husband, but he was sitting here with me. But this is my first official like interview across the miles in an office space because I had my desk in my bedroom for 13 years. And I bet you would tell me you're not supposed to have your desk in your bedroom.
You know, you got to do what works, but congratulations.
Thank you.
Great.
Well, it's a work in progress. We're getting some new furniture, getting all set up, but I love that we get to have this conversation because like I told you, I am so many of the topics here on the podcast are parenting, family, things that I write about and I research. And so I feel like I have, you know, kind of an investment in it. But when it comes to the topic we're going to talk about, house rules, how to decorate for every home style and budget, your beautiful new book, I am kind of like the most novice. Like I don't have a clue about any of this. So this is a little bit selfishly motivated. I get to just ask you questions and learn. So thank you for joining us.
Oh, I love it. I love talking about home. And in a way, our home is kind of like the next member of our families, I feel like.
Amen.
So it kind of fits right in.
It does. And it really, really makes a difference. Like, oh my goodness, I know it does. It makes a difference in how I feel when I'm working from home, homeschooling. It really matters. Okay, so before I get ahead of myself, who are you? I'm sure a lot of people already follow you, but tell us about you, your family, and where you are, all that.
I would love to. My name is Maiqueline Smith. When I first started on the internet 1.5 million years ago, I thought, it's full of killers. I should use a pretend name. So I went by The Nester. I do have a weird name. It's got a Q in it. I mean, it's crazy. But I want to help women create the home they've always wanted so that they can use it the way they've always dreamed. I'm an imperfectionist. I'm a cozy minimalist. That means I want to get the most amount of style with the least amount of stuff. And I see the world through house colored glasses. So I love to figure out the why of decorating. Why is it that some things look great and others look ridiculous? Like I'm like a little weird scientist when it comes to that kind of thing. And I like to figure it out and then teach about it. So I really am a teacher at heart. And my students have all different types of styles and homes. And some people are minimalists and some people are maximalists. Some people have a big budget for decorating. Some people don't have any budget. And I can help no matter where they are.
Wow. That is quite a gift. That is amazing.
It's fun.
Tell us too, we got parents listening. You got these kids.
Oh, yes.
Give us some ages and all that.
I am a mom of 3 boys/men. Our oldest two just moved back home with us. We moved to the mountains of North Carolina about 1.5 years ago, and they were out and had jobs, and they quit their jobs to move home and start a business together. So they have a shop. Yep, they have a BMW shop, and my 2 boys run it. It's in the same building as my husband with his shop. And then my youngest is in college. He's a senior in college. And, you know, we've got girlfriends that hang out. So finally I have some girls around.
What?
I do have a girl cat. We have a dog. But yeah, I've been married for 30 years, turned 50 this year, and been talking about home on the internet for the last, I don't know, I can't do math, since 2007.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Wow, that's incredible. And I just got really excited hearing your boys are starting a business together. Like, what a dream. It's been fun.
And I thought they're going to come home and fight about business every night. They never fight about business. They never talk about it.
Oh, that's the best. Okay, well, I'm older than you, but you're a little ahead of me because you started sooner than me. So I love hearing about these stories when the boys are a little bit older and coming back. That's my dream.
Oh, it's been great.
Yes. Oh my goodness. And you live in a beautiful place. I was in North Carolina for the first time just over 1 year ago, and it was absolutely beautiful. So we're far apart, but both live in beautiful places. But this isn't your first book that we're talking about today. So tell us a little bit about your book writing history. You have best-selling books. You're kind of a big deal. You're all over the place.
Oh, well, I'll tell you, I'm a design school dropout. So I'm kind of I'm not a full-fledged, I don't have like a badge or tattoo that says I'm a designer.
<That's right. laughs>
I just love to figure out the whys of decorating. So I'm on my fourth book. My first book was about imperfection. It's called The Nesting Place. It doesn't have to be perfect to be beautiful. I wrote that in a rental house. The next book was kind of like a step-by-step decorating process called Cozy Minimalist Home. And then I wrote a book called Welcome Home about decorating and hosting throughout the seasons and kind of like a natural approach to decorate through the seasons without having to spend all your money at Hobby Lobby. Like, I don't know. I was kind of prone to do at the time. And then I just wrote my most recent book is called House Rules. It's 100 universal decorating tips that are all like quirky and memorable. And I just felt like it would be helpful to have something in our back pocket that when it, we're at Target, we're trying to decide between two vases and you can remember, contrast is queen. If you want to be seen, I should get the dark one or whatever it is, something like that.
So
in
good.
The spirit of teaching.
Oh my goodness. I absolutely love it. And that's what we're going to talk about today, these house rules, which it's kind of fun because you say you don't really believe in rules. So maybe tell us how they're rules, but not really rules.
It's true. So I just read recently a book by Andrew Peterson, and he said in it, you have to earn the right to break the rules. And I think that is so true. And as creatives, and you know, your home is a creative endeavor, I think what that means is we have to acknowledge that there are some universal rules. There are some maybe best practices or reasons why things might usually look in balance together. Everything in our house is in a relationship together. And then when we know those, we can break them because we want to. We can break them because we believe the room is going to look better, not because we don't know better. That gives us confidence. So I'm all about just helping us make more confident decorating decisions. So the very first rule is learn the rules to break them beautifully.
Okay. See, that's what I need is that confidence element, because sometimes I have this good gut feeling, but I'm like, I'm probably so blowing it. And so I was relieved when I read that you said no one is born with the decorating gene. Are you sure?
I believe it. Now, I do believe that some of us have a lot more practice than others, because I think about myself, I was decorating when I was in fourth grade playing Barbies with my sister. I was playing house. I was only caring about their furniture. So I got a jump start on someone that started 10 or 15 years later. I started decorating my room in high school and, you know, dorm rooms in college because I was obsessed with it. So I do think there are people in our lives that are naturally obsessed with different things. Maybe it's art, maybe it's music, maybe it's cars. And we feel like they were born with it, but really they were just maybe born with a passion. I see that with my own kids. And then we nurture that passion. I think too, when we're younger and we are passionate about something and someone encourages us in it, we're more apt to just learn for fun and not be afraid to make a mistake. And so I do think for me, maybe making mistakes at a younger age and learning from those, it was easier because I was a dumb high schooler trying to figure out what color to paint my walls. Now, listen, I painted my office a year and a half ago a color that I didn't like. So I don't think you ever arrive and like, and now I never paint a wrong color. No, but now I have a great attitude when I paint a wrong color. And I'm like, oh, okay, now I know another color I don't love. We'll figure out. Let's figure out why.
So good. That is awesome. Okay, and you say here that decorating starts in your head. This is something you're going to have to explain, because sometimes I can stare at a room and go, nothing comes to me. Like maybe I can work with something if it's already there, but I don't have that just vision. How can I learn to make it start in my head?
Yes. It's as opposed to, I guess my question would be, where do you think decorating starts?
In people like your head.
I didn't expect that, did you? Okay.
Yeah,
I think a lot of us feel like decorating must start in the furniture store. If I have a room and if there's a problem with it, the solution is furniture store.
Okay. You're
right. Now, I would say the solution, you actually said the word, vision. I don't have a vision. And I think it can start with a vision, or maybe it can start with knowing that you need to use your room in a certain way, or it can start with a deadline. But I believe that to make progress, we start with what we have. We look around the room, we think, and I do work one room at a time when I'm decorating, and we think about what it is that we love about the room. I think every room has something redeeming, even if it's just like it has a great big window, you know, whatever it is, starting with that. I think so often in design, something about the design world or fashion, things like that, it makes us focus on what we don't have. And I never want to start with that with our home. I think we should always start with like, let's really try to find some things we're grateful for in the space, even if you're renting, even if it's not your dream house, even if you can find so many things wrong with it. I never want to begin the process with, oh, I hate it here, but like, well, maybe you do, but what is it that you love? It's a great place to start. But then if you need vision, I always love to start with creating a Pinterest board for that specific room. So you don't have to start thinking about what it needs or what it doesn't. No, you just want to grasp a vision. Inspiration leads to motivation, and the goal is to just get yourself inspired. So if you have a room you're working on, you're stuck in, or if you're like, oh, you know, my, maybe you have someone moving out for college and now you're getting a new room. So you just think about maybe the activities that need to happen in that room and for how many people, and create a Pinterest board for that room and start pinning with abandon. With no, you don't have to say, well, that room has a fireplace and mine doesn't, so I can't pin that. Or that room, you know, has vaulted ceilings and mine. No. Just pin anything that you think is beautiful when you're thinking of that space. And I like to give myself freedom and, you know, a few days or a few weeks. And once you have 40 or 50 pins and maybe walk away and come back, you can look at that room. You can look at that Pinterest board and you will begin to see some rhythms. You'll begin to see something stand out and you'll say, oh, all of these rooms have wood floors, or all of these rooms have a lot of color or a lot of pattern or no color. And you'll just begin to get some confidence in what it is and what your vision could be for the room. So that's a great place to start.
That is so helpful. I have not spent much time on Pinterest, but I think that would, that is a good plan of action.
It's
so
a tool.
I love that. It is super fun. And I also love the practical part of what you said, because I know in this office space, I did stand there with a blank stare going, I have no idea. And then I went, but wait, how do you have to use this? What are some of the things you need? And then that helped direct me. Now, what I want to do is, since you have these 100 house rules, I want to just pop in and grab some of my favorites. Again, everyone listening, this is a little selfishly motivated, but I am going to just grab some of them. But before we do, I was really curious about your, how you talk about the trinity of rugs, drapes, and lighting. This has been a big topic because as I moved out of my bedroom, now I'm working on the bedroom too. And these are the three things that I've been working with. Tell us about that trinity.
Oh, excellent. Now listen, this is not, it's not a new thing that no one's ever thought about before, but the idea of adding the right size rug, hanging your drapes correctly, and layering in lighting is something that when, if you've ever recently maybe looked at houses for sale or looked on Zillow or, you know, got in your next door neighbor's house, I feel like it's something that a lot of our rooms are lacking. And it's such a basic thing, the idea of a rug, which takes up, you know, half an inch on your floor, the thought of lighting, which is so functional, but also can add style and beauty, and the idea of drapes hung correctly, which are not necessarily blocking light unless we need them to function to block light for privacy or the sun is shining in your eyes, but to add softness. And so I know as women, we really long for a home that feels warm and inviting and cozy, yet a lot of us still want like some empty space, some serenity, some peace. And so when you think about adding a rug and drapes, you think, oh, those are two items that if you get the right size are quite large, add a lot of softness, but don't take up any precious surface space, but they're an opportunity to add texture, or if you love color, to add the color, or if you love pattern, to add color or pattern. If you are more of a minimalist who likes a really quiet white walls look, you can just get a simple rug. You can get simple drapes, but it still adds, kind of takes away that visual echo, sometimes literal echo in your room.
Yeah.
And those three, I do call them the homey trinity, because for so long, they were the three things that I think I was afraid to invest in, like, maybe we were renting. Well, there's carpet on the floor. I don't like it, but there's carpet on the floor. So I'll throw this little, you know, 4x8 rug, postage stamp. Well, actually, there is an order of decor that you should be making decisions. It starts with a Pinterest board. And then from there, you consider, you quiet your room. And then you consider your seating, your storages, and your surfaces, which I can see behind. You've done that so well. You see a table. I see like a bench. It looks like it might have storage. I see storage behind you. Like those are the three main things. So there's a hierarchy. Once you get those in, what's really interesting is if you work in the right order of making decisions, every next decision becomes easier. When you have your seating, your surfaces, and your storage placed in a room, now that informs how big and the size rug that you should get. Because in a room like a bedroom or a family room where you have main pieces of furniture, a dining room, you want at least the front feet of the main seating to be on the rug. So all of a sudden, you don't have to guess at what size rug you need. So it's kind of fun. Like, I think that's what makes decorating kind of like fun girl math, because it's not just guesswork. There's actually a reason why some things look good together.
I love all that. That is so helpful. I'm just so excited about this. Okay, quick question on the drapes.
Yes.
This has been a conversation between my husband and I. Do you want your drapes in your bedroom? Now, I'm sure there's times yes and no, but should they drape on the floor a little bit, kind of have that look, or end up right above the floor?
To me, that is a personal preference. Styles will go in and out. I know. Sorry, I'm not going to. That's like saying, what is the best chandelier? Like, well, it depends on your style.
Okay.
Now, I do believe that drapes hung high and wide and going to the floor ultimately is going to do a lot of favors for your room. Just like having the right cut of jeans. You know how they say like cropped jeans kind of cut off your body, or if you have them, you know, the rise at a certain angle, no matter what your body type, just kind of doesn't do you a lot of favors. That's kind of how drapes are. So you don't want them like 8 inches too short. You want them, you know, kissing the floor. Or if you like a puddle, if you're more of a romantic style, you'll just have to fight with your husband about that.
Right, exactly. I think for me, it's, do I really want to hem these? Because, or could I just say this is my style?
I did that for many years. And it was more out of laziness than anything else. Like lazy geniusing more than anything else.
I love it. Okay, are you ready? We're going to somewhat rapid fire some of these rules that I love. And some of the fun of them are, you came up with the best titles for each of them. Some were cracking me up and I'm like, she's got to explain this one. But some that I loved, number 4, home exists to serve people, not the other way around. I couldn't agree more. I love that. So
right.
I don't know. Want to expound on that at all?
I mean, just quickly, with you're raising little kids and we do not have time to stand watch over a pristine silk sofa. Mm. Like, we have got to choose materials. And I believe if we have, you know, if we want the beautiful sofa, but we also want it to function, it just means we have to be a little bit more patient and do a little bit more research. But you do not have to sacrifice your budget, beauty, or function. There is a solution out there.
100%. My mom and I often talk on this topic about how, you know, what's the home you love to visit? The home that is absolutely meticulous and perfect, or the home that is just welcoming and warm? And we know someone who, we always laugh because when you visit her, she literally takes her hand and clears the counter. She's like, have a seat. And she doesn't even think twice. And I'm like, you feel so comfortable there.
Yeah.
And it's not because it's the most perfect home. So beautiful. I love that. Any of you homeschooling or thinking about homeschooling, I want to make sure you go over and check out the diveintomath.com website. Dr. Shorman is a good friend of ours and the professor over at Dive, and he has done an amazing job of preparing kids well for the PSAT, SAT, and ACT with over 200 practice questions. Dr. Shorman teaches with a biblical and historical foundation, which offers the why of learning math. Dr. Shorman uses John Saxon's proven teaching methods of continual review and the integration of algebra and geometry. For your math-minded students, it's hard to find a homeschool curriculum that goes as far as you can find in a traditional school setting, but Dr. Shorman offers all the way through Calculus 2.
Also, your kids can earn up to 32 college credits with included CLEP and AP prep. And here's an inside scoop. Dr. Shorman's classes are shorter, and the week is shorter than most curriculums I've found, and yet kids learn more. So definitely go over to diveintomath.com, check it out, let me know what you think. Hey friends, want to simplify family meals this summer? With HelloFresh, you get farm fresh, pre-portioned ingredients, and seasonal recipes delivered right to your doorstep. Skip trips to the grocery store and count on HelloFresh to make home cooking easy, fun, and affordable. That's why it's America's number one meal kit. HelloFresh's line of kid-friendly recipes are picky eater-proof and perfect for families looking to shake up their dinner recipe rotation while school's out for the summer. Heading out on vacation? Just update your delivery address and enjoy HelloFresh meals at your vacation destination. Plans are flexible, so they work with your changing schedule. I'm a big fan of the tastes of summer, and I appreciate that HelloFresh has seasonal produce picked at peak ripeness and delivered straight from the farm to your door in less than a week. Now here's a fun offer. Go to HelloFresh.com/MonicaApps for free appetizers for life. One appetizer item per box while subscription is active. That's free appetizers for life at HelloFresh.com/MonicaApps. Remember, HelloFresh is America's number one meal kit.
I couldn't agree more. Number seven, you can't ruin something you already hate. Talk to us about that.
Listen, I know it can be scary to take a risk, or maybe, you know, your favorite Instagrammer had just painted her ceiling this beautiful shade of green and you're in love with that shade of green. Well, instead of just painting your kitchen cabinets green, find something maybe that is in the goodwill pile. Maybe find something that you're not crazy about anyway. The vase that you were getting ready to sell at the yard sale, the little nightstand. And paint that. Practice. Mm-hmm. Take your baby step risks and practice on things that you already don't like because you have nothing to lose.
Oh, that's helpful. Okay, one sane space. I want to hear more about this because I think I like it with a house full of boys.
Oh, well, this was a mindset that for those of us who feel like maybe you just moved to a new house or maybe you have a fixer-upper and it feels like lots of rooms are in progress, I think it's really important to feel like you have one room that you and whoever lives in the house can go to and it is protected. Now, it doesn't mean it's finished. It doesn't mean one of my sane spaces at one time had a plastic sheet for a wall, but it had the television set up. It had the dog bed. It had lights and our cozy throws and we could watch, you know, Survivor at night. It was set up for us. When all the other rooms were in chaos, we don't have a sink in the kitchen. We're washing the dishes in the tub because the kitchen is being redone. But we have one sane space.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I would think maybe for women, oftentimes that's good to either be your master bedroom and or your kitchen. Is that kind of a space women like to feel good in?
I mean, I think it could be, it just depends on, it's choose your own adventure. You know, I was thinking more in my mind, it was like, oh, you're living in a fixer-upper. But I think you're right. If you have if for any circumstance, someone's health, something is going on in your life, a move, I think you're right. Like, think about what room you're spending. It could be the room you're spending the most time in, the room you're most frustrated with, the room that is driving you crazy. If you can create sanity, which a lot of times does not mean going and buying new stuff, you know what it means? Emptying it out. It means just quieting it for a while. It doesn't mean you have to quiet it forever, but just like getting rid of some excess to give you yourself some breathing room, that can create sanity.
Yes. I love it. This is a big one. Admire, don't acquire. This has to do with shopping, right?
It can apply to all kinds of things. But yes, I know for the first part of our marriage, I needed to go to yard sales. Like, oh my gosh, if I can go to a yard sale and find a lamp for $2, we need a lamp. Like, we can't see in our house. So I need a desk for my sons to do their homework at. We don't have a chair at the kitchen table. So to be able to find these things, but I found myself in a habit of acquiring because it was a good deal. And my house was full. And so I had to kind of like reteach myself, like I can admire it without needing to acquire it, and appreciating the beautiful things. If someone's doing a craft, oh, I have the supplies, but do I really? Let's just admire it without acquiring it.
That's helpful for me for sure. Okay, you say in here, and I don't have to give all the numbers, but I will. Number 25 made me say, aw, but plan on the kids growing up. How does that affect our decorating?
You know, sometimes if you're watching HGTV, you're watching one of those house shopping shows, and there's a mom with an 18-month-old, and she's like, well, we can't buy this house because it has stairs. And I always think, I know when you're in the thick of it, it feels like that is your life forever. But do try not to make big decisions based on the fact that your kids are never going to age or grow up or grow out of their fears. Or same with us. You know, it's okay for your kids to be upstairs. It's so, you know, yes, you might temporarily put them in the crib and the closet in your bedroom, but they will grow. They will change. And I just feel like even in my communities that I teach, I've got a private community, and sometimes we'll, it's almost like we're making excuses, and we just need to be encouraged. Like, oh, I promise you, that's not going to be the rest of your life. That's not going to be your story forever.
Mm-hmm. So good. Now, one thing I've seen on your social media accounts and all that, a lot of talk about quieting the house. You've used that word even in this interview. What does that mean, quieting the house?
Well, I talk about it in different ways. So I have two things. I have quieting the house and hushing the house. I know.
Hushing. Like, that was the one I saw for the holidays. I was like, wait,
talk
what
about
is hushing?
Hushing?
I
got to get this. So all that is, it's my own way of like a trick myself into decluttering. I don't have a lot of excess stuff, but what I do have is excess decor. We are in our 15th house. I'm not sure if I said that from the beginning. So we've moved around a lot. And I think there's two types of people who move around a lot, or two types when they're moving around. One type, it's like, oh, we're going to move again. I am going to majorly declutter. This is a pain. I respect that type. I am the wrong type, which is, oh, we're going to move again in a month or in a year. I better hold on to everything, even if I'm not using it in this house, because what if I need it in my next house? And that always held me back. And pair that with my one skill of finding great decor on the cheap, and you can easily end up with a hoard of cute decor all in that closet back there, you know, teetering on the brink of falling. So quieting the house, hushing the house, it was my way of like, okay, after Christmas, a lot of times in January, it was easy. I would pick one room. I would pick another area of the house just to be able to pile my stuff. And I just took out the smalls, the tchotchkes, the pillows, the plants, the table decor, the mantle decor, the books, any of those small little things for 24 hours and lived with the house quieted. And what that does is it helped me, anyone and anyone else who lives there, to kind of see the room with fresh eyes, to enjoy it with less, but it also kind of spurred me on to, oh yeah, I actually love the idea of having less stuff in my room. I'm going to bring less in. And then that kind of kick started or jump started my ability to declutter excess stuff. I think if we are constantly adding things in, we're going to Target, people are giving us stuff. It's Christmas, it's our birthday, but without a really purposeful way to exit stuff, then we can just be adding more and more stuff, especially people with my personality. And I am a cozy minimalist, but man, I got a lot of stuff. So that's house hushing.
I get it. That is so cool. I love it. And you kind of touched on it, but number 37, does your room look good naked? Is that kind of what you're getting towards? Get everything out and then,
you know,
have a look?
I think that this is not for renters, because when you're renting, you don't have control of how your room looks when it's naked, when it doesn't have a lot of stuff. I think because we rented for a long time, like when we moved into our fixer-upper 10 or 12 years ago, I was so used to relying on lots of tiny items, little vases and little pillows, little trinkets, because that was kind of what I had control over, that I moved into our fixer-upper and I tried to add like 14 things on the mantle and 18 things on the coffee table, a lot of these small items, thinking that they would solve the problems of the style of my room. But if I hushed it or quieted it and pulled everything out, I would look around the room and not like it. Well, the room has some issues that I need to address that when we moved in, we said we would. We never finished the popcorn ceiling. We like finished it to the dining room that opens up to the living room. And then there's this imperfect line that we meant to get to.
Okay.
Sometimes quieting a room can help you and everyone else in the family see, Oh my gosh, we've been hiding that from ourselves because we never finished it. And we're so good
covering
at, yeah, it like directing.
Distracting.
Mm-hmm. So reminding ourselves, if we like our room naked, it is so much easier to like it when we style it. If you have a room that you hate when it's naked, when you hate without all your cute little tchotchkes, find a way to maybe make it look, whether it's just paint or, you know.
I was going to say, is this about paint? Because we got
a project. It could be repairing something. It could be changing a light fixture. It could be painting the fireplace. Yeah. It just sometimes, I mean, if you don't like the base of the room, it's going to be a lot harder to like the room with stuff in it.
Okay. I think that's so kind of goes with so many of the other things we do in life where we just, it's easier to just buy more junk and try to cover it. The harder work, but the more permanent lasting fix is, okay, let's get to the root of the problem. I actually can't stand the colors on my wall and I never even realized
it before. Right, you've been exactly what you said, distracting yourself from it. And
Well, we want a quick fix. We want to go to Target and solve the problem today. How many pieces have I brought home thinking, oh, this is what I needed? No, that's not what you needed. You needed to get rid of a lot of stuff and paint your walls. Boom. That takes time. Okay, so good. So many more fun things. Number 42, use skirts and show some legs.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
So that is, it comes from, I believe, a Billy Baldwin quote where he talks about if everything in your room is on legs. So think about like the mid-century mod look with the tall, skinny legs. Mm-hmm. But if every piece of furniture is on legs, he says it makes a room look nervous, which is such an interesting way to put it.
Oh, I
but
love that.
But there is an idea of balance. And remember how we said earlier, everything in your room is in a relationship. If everything in your room is like, think if everything had a fluffy skirt and went to the floor, it would kind of feel like everything's heavy and a mushroom and everything's on legs. It feels unbalanced. Yes. So you want to have both. You want to have some skinny legs. You want to have some ball feet. You want to have some skirted things. So it's that a little bit of balance. So it's the book is more about troubleshooting because the sign of a good decorator is not someone who goes in and says, we need this, this, that, 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 and that. And then ta-da, the room is all new, finished. It looks perfect. No, that's not how real people decorate. We have a house. We have some stuff we've had forever. We have a little budget. And so this room is to help the everyday decorator say, why does this room look off? Oh, everything is on legs. Let me shop my house and switch this chair for the skirted chair. And suddenly it feels balanced.
Absolutely. And I feel like as I'm reading through your rules, already things are popping out at me that are like, that's the answer. So I feel like this is the only decorating book anyone really needs. Like you are covering it all. And with these punchy, fun little rules that some of them won't pop out at you, but others will be like, that's what has been bothering me. Okay. Number 54, pick the one that scares you.
Yes. So that is just really about, for me, it's talking about scale. When you are decorating a house, a lot of us want, you know, we're like, I don't know what my style is or I want it to feel stylish. We use the word style a lot. And one way to achieve style, no matter what your personal bent is to use items that are larger in scale. When something is visually larger, the everyday person reads that as something with having style, like, because it is kind of a risk because it's bigger. So the next time, if you are going out and purchasing something, I think I used the example in the book, like I needed a plant. I wanted to buy a plant. Mm-hmm. So instead of going and buying the little bitty 5-inch, you know, violet from the drugstore.
Yep.
No, let's scale up. Let's say I want a plant. And I know we might, you know, all of our plants are on the march to death sooner. They're not going to live forever. They are going to die. But let's get a $20 plant from Lowe's. And let's get a beautiful urn or a beautiful container that pairs with it that is 18 inches wide. So suddenly we have a statement piece. Exactly. Almost a signature piece. And so it's an encouragement that if you pick the one that scares you, even Shay McGee, even there is no person, even Joanna Gaines, when they make decisions, there are things that they're like, that's risky. That's scary. And I bet you that they have learned to normalize that and listen to that. And they're like, oh, that's the one I should get because it's scaring me a little bit. So I just want that to be encouragement that if it scares you, that doesn't mean to back off. Sometimes that means it's a good thing. So you should listen to that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's so good. I hopped over one I wanted to let you talk about, and I'll just do like three more and then I'll let you go because I can do every one of these. But this is huge. Hate the sofa, hate the space.
That one killed me.
Sofas,
you know,
matter.
It is my goal in life to be an encouragement to women in their imperfect circumstances in home because I relate to that. And for so long, I wanted someone to tell me that I could have a sofa I hated and still have a gorgeous room that I love to use. And let me tell you, sitting on a sofa that I hate with a friend, I am distracted with my sofa that I hate. So are there fixes? Yes, you can get a slipcover. You can sell it on Facebook Marketplace and buy a different one. There are things you can do. But just like how if you are forcing yourself to wear an outfit where you hate how you look in the jeans and they're uncomfortable.
Yep.
I don't think there are any cute shoes. There are any fabulous blazer that you can do that's going to make you love your outfit when you hate your jeans. And it is the same with your sofa, the largest piece in the room. I want you to find a sofa that you love.
Okay. Number 82, I'm so curious, trendy or trending? Because what's trending this year may not be next year. How do we how do we navigate this?
That one did take me a while to write because it can be a bit wordy and confusing. I think we're all, you know, none of us want to, I don't want to invest in a trend. And now I look stupid because it's passed. And so when we think.
And I didn't know it was passed. So until I see someone on YouTube and I'm like, oh, I
missed that.
Blew it again.
I was going to go buy it tomorrow and it's already out. But it's helpful when we think about things that. First, we need to identify, is this trendy or is it just something that is historic, that is on trend right now? The way we know that and predict the future is we look at the past. And so, I think in the book I talk about the chevron pattern. Do you remember? It was like, 15 years ago and it was everywhere. It was on every pillow and it was, now listen, we did not invent that 15 years ago. You can go to Rome and Greece and there are chevron patterns and the, the, what is it called? The, there's another name anyway.
I know
it's like, it's got something to do with a fish. Someone's shouting it to us. Anyway, we did not invent that. However, we ruined it for a period of time because it was trendy and trendy.
Overdone.
Yes. So it does not mean that you can never use it again because it's out. It just means you might want to think about the application instead of getting a sofa with that trend. You might just get a pillow cover. That way, when you're done with it, it will only be $25.
Okay. That's helpful. That is helpful. I think I love number 87 because this is one thing that is intuitive to me. I walk in my son's room and I'm like, everything off the floor. I don't want to see things on the floor. I want everything in a place. So store on the floor no more. Is that, am I reading it right?
Exactly.
Is that what you're talking about?
My cozy minimalist roots can make me feel like I want to have my rooms feel simple. And I know that's something we all long for. And sometimes I'll look around and be like, wow, this is clearly my fault. I have a basket on the floor with pillows I never use. I have my Goodwill stuff on the floor that has been there for 4 weeks. So I'm basically decorating with Goodwill stuff because everything sits out in your home is a decoration, whether we say so or not.
I love that one.
So just getting things up off the floor and putting them in their place or finding a new home for them can give it almost just like a breath of fresh air.
Okay, so good. 92, I'm just going to name these. Okay. I'll let you choose one to expound on. Number 92, life is a special occasion. I love that. 93, add a spoonful of sugar. And 96, home is a feeling. Anything you want to say about any of those three before I
mean, I kind of like to leave some mystery because it's like, what? A spoonful of sugar. I'll just tell you, it's talking about joy and it's talking about the unexpected and, the slogan, keep Austin weird. I think that there is something to that. Like in our home, part of our personal style, I think our friends should be like, that's the room with the red door. That's the room with the buffalo head or whatever it is. Something unexpected can add a sense of not taking yourself too seriously and comfort and invitation that doesn't feel formal, that feels inviting.
A little whimsy. I like whimsy. Oh, So good. Well, number 100, I won't have you speak on because, as you said, we want some surprises, but there is no done. And I think that's encouraging to me because sometimes I tell myself, like, when are you going to just feel done?
It's not the goal.
You're not.
It's not the goal.
Oh, well, this is such a helpful and beautiful and fun and just encouraging book. I think you just nailed it. So thank you for this great work.
Thank you for having me. What a fun conversation about home. And
no
your
kidding.
Office looks amazing.
Well, thank you. I just hope you'll take a trip to Hawaii and I'll just, you know, I'd love to cook you a meal and you could just walk around the house and throw out
steal
ideas. However, I'd probably be super insecure. So I'll try to get over that.
Not with me.
Well, super fun. Where can people find you? The book obviously is going to be everywhere. I'm sure it'll be in all the bookstores. Where can people find you online if they want to follow you now?
I'm at thenester.com, on Instagram at thenester. And if you listen to this early enough to pre-order the book, our thank you gift is I brought a video crew into my home. I live in a 1905 Queen Anne Victorian. We walked through every room and I shared a couple of house rules that made the difference, that helped me make the decision. It was super fun.
Oh, I am so excited. Awesome, awesome. Thank you so much for being here and so great to meet you.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. Aloha. All right, friends. I hope you grabbed a nugget or two from everything that Michaelyn shared. I know that I've been inspired and I'm looking at my house different ever since we had this conversation. Of course, you'll find show notes and links to everything we talked about over on my website. And today's show notes are at monicaswanson.com/Michaelyn-Smith. And let me spell that for you. It's MYQUILLYN-Smith. Of course, if it's easier, you can also just go to monicaswanson.com/podcast and scroll down through show notes and you're going to see this one right there. Okay, friends, thank you so much for being here. Thank you for spreading the word about this podcast. And remember, all those series coming up this summer, I think you're going to be super encouraged. So please do let your friends know about these topics coming up and have a wonderful rest of your week. Until next time, aloha.